This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey, I'm Dr. Michael Hunter, forensic pathologist from Autopsy, Reels Channel's medical mystery series on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts. Be sure to download the Podcast One app and subscribe. Then go to Reels.com, that's R-E-E-L-Z.com, to find more programs like this one on Reels Channel.
We've just learned some very sad news, the passing of an American icon, Muhammad Ali, the larger-than-life boxing legend, has died at the age of 74.
Muhammad Ali was one of the greatest boxers the world has ever known. Over a career spanning 21 years, he became the heavyweight champion of the world an incredible three times.
He is possibly the most important sportsman in the history of America.
He became the most beautiful fighting machine ever assembled.
I've wrestled with alligators. I've tussled with a whale. I done handcuffed lightning and put thunder in jail.
Ali's beauty, charisma, and ego made him an adored figure the world over.
He cared about what happened in the ring and outside the ring.
Money means nothing to me, nor boxing, when it comes to the freedom of your people.
But some believe Muhammad Ali fought for too long. Towards the end of his boxing career, the physical decline was obvious, and he had started slurring.
Do I act like I got brain damage? You right here.
I said to Ali, you're going to be a vegetable.
Muhammad Ali died on June 3, 2016, at the age of 74, after a long battle with Parkinson's disease. Many blamed Ali's health on his long boxing career.
In the later part of his life, Muhammad Ali developed a form of Parkinson's. But Parkinson's is not usually fatal, so what killed him? Did the years of beatings he sustained in the ring play a role, or was it something else altogether that finally brought about the end of this once world-class athlete?
Forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Hunter has conducted thousands of autopsies. He's the chief medical examiner in one of America's biggest cities and investigates suspicious deaths.
I've got access to biographical information, medical reports, and first-hand accounts that I'll use to examine Muhammad Ali's medical condition. I'll be looking for evidence as to how Ali's boxing impacted his health during and after his career.
September 25th, 2014, the Muhammad Ali Center, Louisville, Kentucky. 20 months before Ali's death. The 72-year-old Muhammad Ali makes an appearance for a Parkinson's fundraiser in the town where he was raised. Despite being in the advanced stage of Parkinson's disease, he seems well, and although he doesn't speak to the crowds, he poses for photos.
Tim Shanahan, friend.
Muhammad was always attracting people. Wherever he went, he couldn't walk down the street without somebody walking up to him, and he did like it.
Muhammad Ali is married to Lonnie, his fourth wife. At 72 years of age, he has 9 children and has been retired from boxing for 33 years. For millions of fans, he's still the champ.
Muhammad Ali loved being Muhammad Ali until the end.
Muhammad Ali had been living with the progressive neurological condition Parkinson's disease for over 30 years. Parkinson's occurs when the part of the brain that produces dopamine begins to die. Dopamine helps control movement from walking and talking to writing and smiling. So as the disease progresses, the ability to control movement becomes less and less.
While Parkinson's disease can cause multiple health problems, it is not usually fatal. And it appears that Muhammad Ali's Parkinson's disease was well managed. He looks in pretty good shape for a man of his age. From accounts, I can see he was reasonably active and very well cared for by his wife, Lonnie.
Way back in a little one-horse town called Louisville, Kentucky.
Muhammad Ali was born Cassius Marcellus Clay, Jr. on January 17, 1942, to Cassius Marcellus Sr. and Odessa Clay. His father was a commercial artist and sign writer. His mother was a domestic helper.
Thomas Hauser, friend and biographer.
Ali grew up in Louisville, Kentucky in the 1940s. Louisville was segregated. There were separate schools for black and white. It was part of the American South. The highest most blacks could aspire to was perhaps to be a teacher at an all-black public school.
Cassius Clay became a boxer at the age of 12. Famously, a thief took his bike, and Cassius wanted to beat up the kid who stole it. Joe Martin, a local cop who ran the boxing gym, suggested he might like to learn how to fight first.
He told me many years later, when I found boxing, the first day in the gym, it was like God was telling me, this is what you're supposed to do.
In 1954, Cassius won his first amateur fight. And in 1960, he was selected to represent American boxing at the Olympics.
What separated Cassius from the others at that point in time was that he had more drive, more determination, worked harder than any of the other young men in the gym.
Muhammad always said, it's not under the lights that counts, it's the sweat before you get there.
At the Olympics, Cassius Clay won a gold medal and proved to be an instant hit with the media.
I'm Cassius Marcellus Clay VI. And
there was something about him that just stood out. He was 18 years old. He was extraordinarily likable, telegenic. The camera loved him.
I must be the greatest. I know the world.
Just 3 years later, Cassius Clay became the youngest boxer to take the heavyweight title from a reigning champion, when he beat the formidable Sonny Liston.
I upset Sonny Liston, and I just turned 22 years old. I am the king of the world.
Hold it.
I'm pretty.
Hold it. You're not that pretty.
I'm a bad man.
Wait.
I shook up the world.
Not only was Cassius causing shockwaves in boxing, outside the ring, he was challenging mainstream America.
White people are not your brother.
He became a Muslim and joined the religious organization, the Nation of Islam.
It was a political and social awakening.
It was at this point that Cassius Clay changed his name.
Khalilah Ali, Muhammad Ali's second wife.
He said, I want to have a name of culture. I want to have a name of respect and dignity.
Cassius Clay is a name no more, is that right?
Yes, sir. It's Muhammad Ali. Muhammad means worthy of all praises, and Ali means most high.
But Ali's newfound religion brought further conflict when in 1967 he refused to do military service during the Vietnam War.
My conscience won't let me go shoot my brother or some darker people or some poor hungry people in the mud.
He was immediately stripped of his heavyweight title and was banned from boxing during what some felt was his prime.
His license to box was suspended for 3.5 years. It deprived the world of what might have been the greatest Muhammad Ali. At the time of the exile, his performances were extraordinary.
But Ali was eventually pardoned and returned to the ring in 1970 and reclaimed his heavyweight title just 4 years later.
Like most Muslims, Muhammad Ali didn't drink, and he never smoked. What does surprise me, though, is that it appears he had an addiction to sugar.
Muhammad did have this one vice, and it was ice cream. He would eat it all day if he could.
One of the bonds that Ali and I had was we each have a sweet tooth. Ali loved ice cream. He loved cake. He loved pie. I make a very good hot fudge sauce from scratch.
This is good, man.
Ali ate his portion. He asked for more, ate the second portion. Then when he was done, he picked the bowl up and he licked it.
Ali's sweet tooth continued throughout his life. Famously, he was known to take 11 spoons of sugar in his tea.
High sugar diets are not recommended for people with Parkinson's disease because sugar tends to act as an inflammatory in the body. The spikes in insulin can also produce lethargy and fatigue, which exacerbate the symptoms of Parkinson's. Although this in itself is unlikely to be responsible for his death, it does paint a picture of someone who doesn't follow advice, even when it's detrimental to their health.
December 20th, 2014, Muhammad Ali's house, Scottsdale, Arizona, 18 months before his death. Ali is resting at home with his wife Lonnie when she realizes that something is wrong. He's running a fever and appears extremely unwell.
Muhammad passed out at his home, and the emergency crew came and took him to the hospital.
I can see from my notes that doctors diagnosed Ali with urinary tract infection, or a UTI. The area known as urinary tract includes the bladder, ureter, urethra, and kidneys. And an infection occurs when bacteria gets into one of these areas and multiplies. They're pretty common, especially among people with Parkinson's, as the bladder muscle is too weak to expel urine, making it more susceptible to infection. UTIs are usually harmless, but the fact Ali was running a fever and became unconscious tells me that this was serious, and it's a sign that it could have spread to the kidneys.
And Dr. Hunter has uncovered evidence of further kidney problems in his past. So did Muhammad Ali die of kidney failure? Muhammad Ali was one of the most celebrated boxers of all time, adored by fans in and out of the ring.
I injured a stone and I hospitalized a brick. I'm so bad I make medicine sick.
But on June 3rd, 2016, he died at Honor Health Scottsdale Osborne Medical Center. He had been suffering from the degenerative brain disease Parkinson's for 33 years. Renowned forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Hunter is investigating his death.
We know that Parkinson's isn't normally fatal, so I need to know what else was going on in his body in the weeks and months before his death. So far, I've discovered that just over a year before his death, he was admitted to the hospital with a severe UTI, which likely spread to his kidneys. And looking deep into Ali's medical background, I can see that he suffered from renal problems as far back as the 1970s.
In September 1977, Ali defended his world heavyweight title against Ernie Shavers. After a bloody 15-round bout, Ali was declared the winner, but his face and body took a pounding.
Ernie Shavers is known to be one of the hardest punchers in boxing.
Tim Witherspoon, former heavyweight champion.
The fight with Ernie Shavers, it definitely should have signaled the end of Ali's career because, as his doctor, Ferdy Pacheco, famously said, he won the fight, but his kidneys lost the decision.
After the fight, Ali would have undergone a series of medical examinations conducted by the New York State Athletics Board. I can see from reports that a urine test showed traces of blood and kidney tissue. This tells me that Ali had sustained kidney damage during the fight.
Dave Hannigan, sports writer and journalist.
Dr. Frank Guardino of the New York State Athletic Commission, he said that Ali was so bad and Ali will never be licensed in New York again.
kidney damage like this can lead to kidney disease and is a major cause of cardiovascular problems, including strokes and an increased risk of cancer. I can see that Muhammad Ali was tested for kidney function 3 years later and was given the all clear. However, damage his kidneys received throughout his boxing career could have left him susceptible to problems later in life.
After the Shavers fight, many of those closest to him felt that enough was enough.
No more, man. No more.
I wanted him to stop fighting. I wanted him to start endorsements or something, have gyms all over the world, something like that.
And yet, Muhammad Ali chose to continue fighting, whatever the cost.
I said to Ali, you're going to be a vegetable. You're not going to be able to walk. You're not going to be able to stand. You're not going to be able to do anything. You're going to be a vegetable.
Dr. Linda Papadopoulos, psychologist.
Success is addictive. Adoration is addictive. When your whole identity is bound up in being the heavyweight champion and you're being asked to let it go and walk away, this is retiring from the thing that fed your ego, that fed your esteem, that filled your days. I don't think it's a surprise at all that he finds it so hard to walk away.
Behind the scenes, many were begging Muhammad Ali to bow out because they could see the beginnings of concerning health problems.
After that fight, he held his hand. He said, I can't stop it from shaking. And then when he told me, they said, whoa, that's some really serious stuff.
Shaking or tremors is a symptom of Parkinson's, but it can also be a sign of brain damage. Traumatic brain injury, or TBI, is common among boxers. It's hardly a surprise given that a knockout blow is by definition a brain injury. Symptoms of TBI include slurred speech, reduced agility and coordination, and tremors. So I need to investigate whether or not brain injury was a factor in Muhammad Ali's death.
In 1969, Muhammad Ali joked about punch-drunk boxers.
Boxers usually don't talk, and all they can tell you is he ran 5 miles yesterday, or good left jab, or I'm not that type of Negro.
But just over a decade later,
I can whoop anything on two legs. But
Ali filmed
me,
a roach spray commercial.
Needs help beating things
now
with
he too
legs.
Was slurring.
I mean roaches. I don't want you living with roaches. Wipe them out with Decon power. Decon, more power to you.
Ali's slurring is further evidence of TBI. It could be physical damage to the language centers in the brain, or it could be damage to the nerves that control the throat and vocal cords.
From the mid-70s onwards, friends and family begged Ali to give up boxing before it was too late.
The people that loved him wanted him to retire because they didn't want to see him get hurt. He lost a lot of his skills.
On June 26, 1979, Muhammad Ali finally agreed to retire. But it seemed not everyone was happy with the decision, as his then-wife Veronica would witness.
I can remember times when he had made his mind up not to fight, and people would actually come around and try to get him to interested in fighting again.
In April 1980, he was finally lured back and announced he was going to fight Larry Holmes.
Wouldn't you come back and fight for $7 million? That was really the reason. It was the money.
Muhammad Ali was now 37. He was heavy and slow. To get back into shape, he embarked on a tough training regime and asked boxer Tim Witherspoon to be his sparring partner.
The first time I sparred, it was easy. I was expecting him to give me a test. It was really easy to hit him in his head, so I said, no, I can't keep doing this. I would disguise everything. I would make noise, And he would get mad and say, what's the matter with you? Why aren't you, punching me, hitting me?
Is that all you got? Come on.
But I knew something was wrong. This can't be the champ.
Muhammad Ali's slurring and lack of form was now a national media story. In the run-up to the Holmes fight, Ali was interviewed on NBC and defended his decision to continue boxing.
They say you're slow. And you're fat
can't
and
talk
you
no more.
Can't talk.
Brain damage, can't talk. Do I seem like I can't talk?
Do I act like I got brain damage? You got here.
The fight was a disaster for Muhammad Ali.
This is a sad Ali, surely. He can't fight back.
He was sluggish and took a beating. Ali's trainer, Angelo Dundee, stopped the fight after the 10th round.
And he's right, and he stops the fight.
A humiliating defeat.
It's all over, and Larry Holmes retains the championship.
Muhammad Ali's championship boxing career was over. His medical problems were not.
When Ali began to have physical difficulties, his initial reaction was denial. You know, it's not happening to me. When I stop fighting, I'll feel better. I'll be fine. Well, he wasn't fine.
This is somebody who had complete volition over his body and over, you know, other people's, you know, through his body. This is someone that can make things happen. He trusted his arms and his legs to do, and you know, whatever he wanted. And all of a sudden, to feel that I'm becoming clumsy, to feel that, you know, my wrist is something that I can't control. It's moving in a weird way. To feel that even my face is changing, my pretty face, as he used to say, it would be hugely difficult.
In 1983, concerned by his slurring and lack of coordination, Muhammad Ali went to the UCLA Medical Center for an extensive examination.
That's my brain?
Including brain scans.
It's huge. I can see my intelligence.
I have a report of CT brain scans conducted at UCLA in 1982, and it makes for disturbing reading. The scan showed two abnormalities, a dilated third ventricle and a hole in the membrane separating the lateral ventricles. The ventricles are deep structures that allow cerebrospinal fluid to flow between different areas of the brain. Although abnormal, these results aren't conclusive evidence of traumatic brain injury, so I can discount this as a cause of Ali's death. It's clear the tremors and slurring were the early signs of Parkinson's disease, which I note was finally diagnosed in 1984. Muhammad Ali was put on a standard drug regimen to replace the dopamine that his brain could no longer make.
But Dr. Hunter has found evidence of another injury sustained during his fighting years that could have fatal consequences.
If you're like me, you've probably noticed that it is getting close to time to do some touch-ups to your hair color. And maybe right now you aren't able to get to the salon, you're really worried about trying just a box from the store. Well, right now you can take coloring your hair at home to the next level with Madison Reed. You really deserve gorgeous professional hair color, and it can get delivered right to your door starting at only $22. For decades, women have had two options for coloring their hair. As I said, you can either go to the salon, spend hours and a lot of money, or you can try a box from the store, which is always a little difficult to actually get right. Many Madison Reed clients comment on how their new hair color has improved their lives. Women love the results. Gorgeous, shiny, multidimensional, healthy-looking hair. This is game-changing color you can do at home and look as if you just came from the salon. What makes Madison Reed color unique is that it's crafted by master colorists who blend nuances of light, dark, cool, and warm tones to create over 55 gorgeous, multidimensional shades. Find your perfect shade at madison-reed.com. Autopsy listeners get 10% off plus free shipping on their first color kit with code LASTHOURS. That's code LASTHOURS.
After a long struggle with Parkinson's disease, legendary boxer Muhammad Ali died on June 3, 2016. Many blamed Ali's boxing career that spanned 61 professional fights. Now, leading forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Hunter is investigating the evidence.
So far, I've discounted a brain injury sustained from the repeated blows to Muhammad Ali's head as being linked to his death. However, looking back over Ali's boxing career, I can see another potentially life-threatening consequence of his fighting, and that's blood clots. If these travel to the lungs, they can cause a pulmonary embolism, which can result in heart failure and sudden death.
It was in 1976, during an exhibition fight with Japanese martial arts fighter Antonio Inoki, that Muhammad Ali sustained the damage.
I predict that this will outsell the Frazier fight.
The idea was entertainment. We're going to take Muhammad Ali, the greatest boxer in the world, we'll put him in a ring against Antonio Inoki, who is hugely popular in Japan as a professional wrestler. It was all supposed to be scripted. It was all supposed to be staged.
Yes, sir.
The problem came several days before the fight when Ali decided it was against his religion to trick people. They were going to have to fight for real.
At the time, Ali had been a champion boxer at the top of his game for 16 years.
And it was an abomination. Inoki obviously didn't want to get punched in the face by Ali. So Inoki spent 15 rounds on his butt.
He sat on the canvas on his back and just kicked Muhammad in the legs. It was really kind of sad.
It was declared a draw after 15 rounds. Ali was terribly embarrassed by the Inoki fight, but it also cost him physically.
After the fight, Muhammad developed blood clots on his lower legs.
The blood clots would likely have been a response to injury. The blood detects ruptures in the vessels, and platelets bind together with proteins to form clumps that plug the ruptures. Normally, this is part of the body's healing process, but when sustaining large injuries, these clots can come loose and travel to other parts of the body and blood supply to vital organs, in particular, the lungs.
Ali's entourage was extremely worried about his blood clots. To disperse them, they recommended a series of massages.
Massaging legs that contain blood clots can be extremely dangerous. It doesn't necessarily break down the clot, but carries a high risk of loosening it. If the clot then travels to the lungs, it can easily cause a pulmonary embolism. Although there have been many cases of deaths following blood clots within the boxing world, I cannot see another occasion when Ali suffered from them. And as this fight happened almost 40 years before he died, I'm going to discount a pulmonary embolism as a cause of death.
April 9th, 2016, Phoenix, Arizona, 2 months before Muhammad Ali's death. It's been over a year since Ali's hospitalization with a urinary tract infection. Tonight he's making an appearance at his annual Celebrity Fight Night, a star-studded fundraiser which draws big-name celebrities and professional athletes.
That was not on anybody's mind that he would be in the hospital a few weeks later. At that time, he didn't look bad.
Tonight's event is in aid of the Muhammad Ali Parkinson Center, and money is raised during live auctions. Over the last 23 years, Ali has raised over $127 million for the charity.
Reading firsthand accounts of Ali's appearance at the charity fundraiser, there's nothing that would immediately account for a sudden decline 8 weeks later. This makes me think that there could be an underlying issue with his heart. And I can see that Muhammad Ali had been diagnosed with reduced thyroid function.
In the summer of 1980, Muhammad Ali began training in preparation for his fight against Larry Holmes. Yet despite a grueling regime, Ali's weight remained stubbornly high.
Dr. Charles Williams, 3 weeks before the fight, visited Muhammad at Deer Lake and told him that he had a thyroid problem.
The thyroid is a gland in the neck that controls your metabolism. Reduced levels of thyroid hormones have a massive impact on your body, particularly on muscle strength and general levels of energy. Thyroid problems, particularly in the long term, have been shown to cause heart failure. If Muhammad Ali did have thyroid problems, then this could well be implicated in his death. And it would definitely have impacted on his abilities as a boxer.
Dr. Williams prescribed Muhammad Ali the drug Thyrolar.
Thyrolar, also known as Liatrix, is a treatment for an underactive thyroid. Thyrolar supplements the output of the thyroid gland. It can have numerous side effects, which include vomiting and muscle pain. It's hard to get the dosage right, and excessive amounts can cause an accelerated heart rate.
Muhammad Ali later told friends that he often took 2 or 3 times the recommended dose.
He said, "I thought if 1 was good, 2 would be better."
But there's something else in Muhammad Ali's notes that makes me wonder if the thyroid problem was misdiagnosed. I can see that in preparation for the fight, Ali was also taking Ditirix, which is a drug very similar to amphetamine. This is a major red flag. This drug is not used to treat thyroid problems. I think that both drugs were likely used as diet pills and are often abused to affect weight loss. They raise your metabolic rate, and so you use more energy, which is why you burn more fat. But amphetamine-like drugs can increase your heart rate and your blood pressure. That can lead to cardiac problems and also carries other risks such as stroke.
It was actually really sad to see this sort of transformation of someone that was in awe of their beautiful body to someone that was willing to abuse it just so they could continue fighting. And I think that's somewhere where you see him lose his way.
The drug use caused bitter arguments within Muhammad Ali's entourage, with some calling for Ali to cancel the match against Holmes in Vegas.
When I went to Vegas, that's when I really found out what happened.
Hey, coach, how you doing?
When I was walking down the hall, Ali's room was open. They talking about not letting Ali fight. They arguing back and forth.
I'm going to show Larry Holmes I'm the greatest of all time.
And I said, whoa, I can't believe they was doing that. Ali's sick. I heard them say it. Don't let him fight.
At the heart of the dispute was Ali's attempt to lose weight.
I heard thyroids. He lost too much weight in a short period of time, and he was dehydrated.
He was at 240, and by the time the fight came about, he was down to his fighting weight, which was 218. In about 3 or 4 weeks, he lost 22 pounds that quickly.
It wasn't just the drugs that led to Muhammad Ali's extreme weight loss. He was also trying to sweat off weight.
The reason for the rubber band around his middle is to cut the fat.
He wanted to lose weight. They kept putting Abilene on him. You know, this makeup cream.
Abilene cream, also known as hydroxytone, was originally developed as a moisturizing makeup remover. But athletes often use it to lose weight. When applied thickly, Abilene blocks the skin's pores, which stimulates more sweat production than normal. If you don't replace that water, you lose weight. Abilene isn't dangerous in itself. However, weight loss through sweating isn't a great idea. You're not burning fat, you're dehydrating. But I don't think Ali's crash dieting impacted his health in the long term. Tests in the 80s show that there was no indication of damage to the thyroid gland or the heart. So I can discount this as a cause of Muhammad Ali's death.
Late April 2016, Muhammad Ali's home, Scottsdale, Arizona, 6 weeks before his death. Ali starts hallucinating. He imagines that he's back in the ring with Frazier and Foreman.
It's not uncommon for people with Parkinson's to suffer from hallucinations, and sometimes the medications they are on can trigger them. But hallucinations can also be caused by the high fever from an infection. Not only does Ali have a history of urinary tract infection, but his Parkinson's disease puts him at extremely high risk of infections such as pneumonia. Pneumonia is life-threatening. Is this what killed Muhammad Ali?
Hi, everyone. This is Jillian with Court Junkie. Court Junkie is a true crime podcast that covers court cases and criminal trials using audio clips and interviews with people close to the cases. Court Junkie is available on Apple Podcasts and PodcastOne.com.
I can drown a drink of water and kill a dead tree. Wait till you see Muhammad Ali.
Three-times world heavyweight champion Muhammad Ali died on June 3, 2016. Renowned forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Hunter is investigating the cause of his death.
Muhammad Ali died with Parkinson's disease. And so far, I've discounted brain injury, pulmonary embolism, and thyroid problems as related to his death. But In the months prior to his death, I've discovered he was experiencing dramatic hallucinations. This could be a sign that he was suffering from an acute infection, such as pneumonia. And I can see from his notes that approximately 1 month after the hallucinations, he was admitted to the hospital with respiratory problems.
May 30th, 2016. Honor Health Osborne Scottsdale Medical Center, Arizona. 4 days before his death. Muhammad Ali is admitted after collapsing at home. It appears he has a chest infection and what is described as a persistent cough.
Although the cough could be a symptom of pneumonia, persistent coughing is also a recognized symptom of Parkinson's disease. The brain loses control over the laryngeal muscles, which you use for coughing, swallowing, and speech. Saliva then pools in the throat, making the sufferer feel the constant need to clear it.
Muhammad had a guttural sound when he spoke, and when he coughed, it was, it was really low. It sounded like he was trying to control it within his chest.
May 31st, 3 days before his death, Muhammad Ali continues to deteriorate. As well as suspected pneumonia, his kidneys have started to fail.
I can see from reports that Ali was given dialysis. And dialysis works by extracting the blood, filtering out the waste products the diseased kidneys can't deal with, and then returning the blood to the body. Dialysis is only used when the kidney function is drastically impaired.
Just 24 hours after Muhammad Ali is admitted to the hospital, doctors tell the family that it's time to prepare for the worst.
Lani called his daughter Layla and told Layla that Muhammad was in the hospital and the doctor said it doesn't look like he's going to be going home.
June 1st, 2 days before his death. Muhammad Ali's condition is now critical. Medics prepare to put him on a ventilator.
Doctors would not have put Muhammad Ali on a ventilator unless it was absolutely essential, because putting a tube into the airway raises the risk of infections. This, coupled with the toxic buildup due to kidney failure, would be putting a huge strain on his heart. What strikes me about this bout of illness is that it was quick and unexpected. Just 8 weeks before, his friends say he was relatively healthy.
June 3rd. Family members and friends come to Muhammad Ali's bedside to say their goodbyes to the greatest.
Hannah said that when she went to say goodbye to him, she said, Daddy, it's okay now. You can leave us. We'll be okay.
Later that evening, doctors decide that there is nothing more they can do for Ali. With the family's agreement, they turn off the life support.
I was at home and Hannah called me. They took him off the life support. Muhammad's heart kept beating for 20 more minutes. That's the heart of a champion. It just wouldn't die. They say that he's not suffering anymore, and they say that you should rejoice, that you should celebrate his life rather than feel sorry and sad about it.
The world says goodbye to Muhammad Ali.
I am the greatest.
The passing of an American icon, Muhammad Ali, the larger-than-life boxing legend, has died at the age of 74.
The end of an era, the end of a singular figure in this world.
Ali! 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 Ali!
Muhammad Ali's funeral took place 7 days after his death. Over 10,000 turned up to line the streets. Billy Crystal, Ali's wife Lonnie, and President Bill Clinton were among the speakers paying tribute.
I can just hear Muhammad saying now, well, I thought I should be eulogized by at least one president.
I went to the memorial service with the family. I put my hand on the casket and said, thank you for the greatest love of all given to the world. Rest in heavenly peace.
The funeral, in a way, it was the greatest tribute to Ali, the person that we could possibly have had. This is Ali. He brought people together.
Muhammad Ali was laid to rest in Cave Hill Cemetery, Louisville, Kentucky, just 8 weeks after his final public appearance. A sudden loss that was keenly felt. But the mystery of Muhammad Ali's death remains. Dr. Hunter thinks there may be a clue in Ali's failing kidneys.
Sudden and acute kidney failure can sometimes be the result of poisoning, and I can see deep within his medical history that Ali did have suspected poisoning from a pesticide. I want to investigate if this is linked in any way to his death.
Boxing legend Muhammad Ali died on June 3, 2016, after suffering respiratory problems and kidney failure. With no known history of kidney disease, esteemed forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Hunter wants to investigate whether a suspected case of pesticide poisoning could be the cause of Ali's death.
I can see from reports that Muhammad Ali underwent testing for suspected pesticide poisoning back in July of 1988. At the time, doctors believed Ali inhaled a toxic pesticide while training outdoors.
Some doctors believed the poisoning was to blame for some of the symptoms linked to Muhammad Ali's Parkinson's.
The doctor said that Ali was suffering from blood poisoning at Ali's training camp in Deer Lake, Pennsylvania.
Doctors proposed a treatment to decontaminate Ali's body. Plasmapheresis.
In plasmapheresis, blood is extracted from the body and then filtered to remove any possible poisons. In Ali's case, they filtered 15 to 20 liters, and that's equivalent to pumping out all of his blood and pumping it back three times.
When Muhammad was asked to do certain treatments, Lonnie talked to doctors and they'd come up with different ideas. And this one doctor had this method to clean out Muhammad's blood and was a theory that he believed works. I saw it and I said, this is crazy. I told Lonnie, I said, I wouldn't do that. That's crazy.
There was a period of a year or two when Ali underwent these plasmapheresis treatments, but they didn't do any good.
It is possible that Muhammad Ali had some kind of poisoning, but tests conducted in September of 1988 found no evidence of pesticides. So I can comfortably rule this out as being in any way connected to his death.
Now, after analyzing all the evidence, Dr. Hunter can finally reveal what he believes caused Muhammad Ali's death.
In my opinion, it was septic shock that finally killed Muhammad Ali. Sepsis is a serious medical condition caused by an overwhelming immune response to infection. Biochemicals released in the blood to combat the infection trigger widespread inflammation, which leads to blood clots and leaky blood vessels. This results in impaired blood flow, which damages the body's organs by depriving them of nutrients and oxygen. In severe cases, one or more organs fail. In the worst case, blood pressure drops, the heart weakens, and the patient spirals towards septic shock. Once this happens, multiple organs, lungs, kidneys, liver, may quickly fail, and the patient dies. In Ali's case,
it's highly likely that it was the suspected pneumonia that triggered the sepsis. I think that this is why Ali's kidneys failed despite no history of chronic kidney disease. The hospital did everything they could to help fight the infection and sepsis. But in the end, after living and working hard with Parkinson's for 33 years, the former champ had nothing left.
Muhammad! Muhammad!
One of the remarkable things about Muhammad Ali's life is that for 30 years, really, the whole world watched this man wither away. We saw it as he became more and more debilitated. That was a choice he made.
Oh, great left hand taken on the face of George Foreman.
At the end of each day, he would ask himself, if God were to judge me based just on what I did today, would I go to heaven or hell? And he lived his life accordingly.
This will be no contest. This will be a total annihilation.
His fight was my fight. We were all in the same boat. We were all being treated the same. He wanted to change things. That's all. He wanted to change things.
My stand for my religious belief, my stand for my people, speaking up for my people, all of them are with me, and that's all I want.
He stood up what he thought to believe in. And it made him stronger for it.
Muhammad Ali is not just the story of boxing. He's the story of America in the 20th century. He's the story of slavery, segregation, of Vietnam, of civil rights, of Islam. This is why he is so different. This is why he is so special. And this is why we will talk about him, you know, forever.
Muhammad Ali was determined to be the greatest. He boxed for 21 years, losing only 5 fights out of 61. And he paid the price willingly. Not only was he the greatest as a boxer, but also as an advocate and inspiration for all those who suffer from Parkinson's disease.
I must be the greatest! I shook up the world! I shook up the world!
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Autopsy. Don't forget to subscribe at podcastone.com with the Podcast One app or at Apple Podcasts. Then go to reels.com, that's reelz.com, for clips, extras, and more from the TV version of the series, including reenactments and autopsy photos you'll only see on Reels channel. Find Reels on your TV at reels.com. I'm Dr. Michael Hunter.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.